97.5 The Fanatic. Another embarrassing loss, and the Birds find themselves 5-7 after going down to the Dolphins. Is this season over? This is the Brian Westbrook Show, live from PJ Wellahan's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Presented by 19 Crimes Wine and Runner Roofing. Now here are your hosts, Devon Givens and Brian Westbrook.
Hey, welcome to the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook here live in Cherry Hill at PJ Wellahan's, our home after every Philadelphia Eagles game. I'm Devon Givens with you here on the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. An abbreviated show tonight because the Sixers and Jazz hit the court at 7 o'clock, so we have to hand things off to Brian Seltzer and Tom McGinnis for that coverage, but we will get everything in with the man whose name is in the title. He is not happy with this Birds loss 37-31 to the Miami Dolphins. Brian Westbrook, what's happening, my man?
A lot of bad things are happening. Good evening. You know, we talk about every single week, we want to come here talking about a victory Monday. We talk about, you know, what our team has to do to win every single week and what we can't do if we want to win the football game. And it seems that we did a lot of those things yesterday. A lot of those things that we couldn't do if we wanted to win a football game. But it's more disappointing. I think it's much bigger than that. And I think you have to kind of start with the expectations going into the football game. The expectations going into this game, we talked about it with Trey. We talked about it with Jason on the pregame. It was all about getting your stats up. We're playing against a 2-9 football team that a bunch of teams have scored a lot of points against. You're talking about the Buffalo Bills scored 37 points against this football team. A bunch of teams have done well against the Miami Dolphins. When you look at Cleveland, put up 41. Washington beat the Miami. The Washington Redskins beat the Miami Dolphins. So they're 2-9 for a reason, because they weren't playing very well. They were supposed to be tanking on the season because they traded their left tackle. They traded one of their best wide receivers. And this is a game that we were supposed to come down, wrap this game up, get some confidence, build our team up, and then move forward with the last, you know, four games of the season prepared, hopefully, to make a playoff run. That's what this game was supposed to mean. Supposed to get a bunch of sacks, post up, rack up a bunch of yards, rushing and receiving, supposed to build our confidence. And yesterday started out good. Obviously, interception on the first defensive play by Ronald Darby. That's a great start defensively. We go up 10-0.
Yep.
And at that point, I'm saying to myself, you know what? This is going exactly the way that I thought it was. We would get up big, that, you know, and once you get up big on a team, we're, you know, 10 points. Now it's time to stick the dagger in them. Our defense continues to play lights out. Our offense figures things out, and we keep winning the football game. And that's exactly what did not happen yesterday. Yesterday, our defense couldn't find a way to get off the field. They were not even close to the defense that we have seen in the past few weeks, in particular when we played Russell Wilson as well as Tom Brady. They weren't able to get to the quarterback. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick did a great job of adjusting just a bit, making sure that the rush doesn't get to him. He was getting the ball out very quickly, which a veteran quarterback certainly was going to do. We had to have a plan for that. We obviously did not. There were some big plays made by Devontae Parker, as well as their tight end, Mike, what is his name? Mike Gesicki. And those are jump ball plays that we have to find a way to come down with. Those are great opportunities for our defenders, who were right there, by the way, to make big plays and get the ball back to our offense. In these types of games, we have to find a way to win, not figure out a way to lose. And unfortunately, yesterday, all those things didn't go our way. Now, when you look on the offensive side of the ball, we were able to move the ball a little bit, especially in the first half. At one point, we're up 28-14. And I'm still saying, you know what? Still a little bit too close for my comfort.
Sure.
I know Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to throw the ball all over the place. That's what he's been doing for a long time. He did that last year with the Tampa Bay Bucks. He did it all season long. He just plays with a reckless abandon. He doesn't care. He's going to throw the ball up and give his receivers an opportunity. And so offensively, we have to keep pace. Carson Wentz made some good throws to Alshon on the sideline. He was able to find Nelson on a couple plays. Miles Sanders averaged 4.9 yards a carry on his 17 carries. But the question offensively still is, you know, you put up 31 points. How do you get to 38? That's the question. And there were times in this football game where we lost a lot of rhythm offensively. We didn't look like we were the team that put up 31 points in this football game, which I think we should have. And we also didn't commit to the run. November, December football is all about, can you run the football and can you stop the run? And we weren't able to run the ball with the commitment that I think we should have. And if you're averaging almost 5 yards a carry, I'm telling you right now, Miles Sanders would have had 25, 30 carries, period. Especially when you're winning.
100 plus.
And, you know, with all those things, and you're talking about attention to detail with all the penalties we had in the football game, with all those things, a team not being ready to go down there and seize victory when you're the your entire season basically lays in the balance. Your ability to get to the playoffs, the one thing that you worked all this offseason for, lays in the balance. You have the opportunity to win that football game. Right there, you go to someone else's house who is 2-9 that everybody else in the league has beaten. And you don't go down there and handle your business. You don't execute. You don't go down there with any sense of urgency. You don't adjust from the sideline. All those different things that you have to do to win football games, you do none of those things. And now we sit here today trying to figure out why, how that happened, and now we're trying to figure out how we can still get into the playoffs. Now, all of this happened after you saw Dallas lose on Thursday night.
Yep.
So your future, your playoff run is right there in front of you. We had a great opportunity, and we squandered it.
And even still, when you look at the situation based on how things had played out, there's still an opportunity for them to get into the postseason. But yeah, they could have made it that much easier. And we all focused on the five games, starting with the Miami Dolphins. Next week, the Monday night game against New York, and then Washington, Dallas, and once again New York. This was that game. This was that game to really regain that focus that you were talking about, coming off of two tough losses to both New England and Seattle at home, where you said it yourself. The defense really stepped up in those two games. The offense couldn't really get it going. They did it. Started the game yesterday with the defense. The offense answered, got you the points, and we thought, as you pointed out, oh, this was going to be exactly how we thought it would go, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, it did not. And we even said it in the pregame, B, where we said, okay, the defense has picked up the offense. Now, can the offense pick up the defense in this game against Miami with the front being so superior, we thought, defensively to the offensive line, and vice versa, the offensive line for the Eagles dominating the defensive front. And what we did not see was the defense stepping up and continuing the play that we thought we saw, which we thought might have been real against Seattle and New England. And unfortunately, they did not come to play.
The last couple of weeks, we weren't challenged as much down the field as we were yesterday.
No.
I think Metcalf challenged us a little bit when we played Seattle, but he dropped a couple of passes. One was certainly a touchdown, so we kind of got an reprieve there. Yesterday, both the tight end as well as Devontae Parker, they made the most of their opportunities. Every single ball that came their way, they caught it. And that's a player that wants it. That's a player that wants it more. That's what that is. And if Doug Peterson can't get this team ready, can't get this team fired up for these types of games, how could we expect them to make a run to the playoffs?
Sure, sure. 610-632-0975. Once again, the Brian Westbrook Show, the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, an abbreviated one as Sixers Jazz Basketball comes up at 7 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll hand things off to Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com for the pregame coverage as the guys return home for another one here in Philadelphia. The Utah Jazz also on a back-to-back night, so I'm sure a little revenge for the 76ers. We'll see if they can get it done. The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook is presented by 19 Crimes Wine. Join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 for the Brian Westbrook Show, live from this very location, PJ Wilhans and Cherry Hill. Grab a seat early and enjoy happy hour food specials from 3:30 to 6, including $2 sliders, $4 famous fries, and $5 personal nachos. All day, every day, enjoy $7 19 Crimes featured wines by the glass. And we are also presented by Rudder Roofing Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. Doug Peterson spoke his day after press conference at NovaCare. We'll hear some of the audio on the other side to get a sense of what the head coach is saying. He's taking a lot of heat himself, not doing a good enough job. So we'll hear what Doug Peterson had to say at his day after press conference when we get back. It is the Brian Westbrook Show live from PJ Wheelahan's in Cherry Hill. I'm Devon Givens alongside Brian Westbrook until 6:45 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. The Fanatic Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, presented by 19 Crimes Wine and Rudder Roofing on 97.5 The Fanatic.
617, 97.5 The Fanatic right here in Cherry Hill, New Jersey for the Pro Show with Brian Westbrook right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Devon Givens with you. We're hanging out until 645. Sixers Jazz Basketball right here at 7 o'clock on 97.5 live from the center. So we get you ready for that. We're at 1854 East Marlton Pike in Cherry Hill. If you do want to stop by and hang out with us and then check out the game right here afterwards in this great location. But B, before we get to the phone calls, 610-632-0975, wanted to hear from Doug Peterson a little bit as he spoke in his day after press conference, said some things, and a lot of people didn't like what he said, didn't like what he did in the game, did not like what he had to say in his day after press conference. So here is Doug Peterson speaking about the lack of focus by his football team.
Some of it comes down to lack of focus, just understanding the situation sometimes. All things that we try not to use as excuses, because we have to eliminate that and get better, learn from them, and move on.
Whoa. What are you talking about? Again, let me start here. I like Doug Peterson. Doug was on the staff when I was playing. I think, you know, we've had a great relationship since then. So I'm not sitting here, you know, trying to bash him, but I just got to be honest. When I hear a coach tell me that it was a lack of focus because we're playing a 2-9 football team, it's a lack of focus, we weren't prepared, then that means he wasn't doing his job. We talked about it in the pregame show. It's the coach's job to make sure that the players are focused. It's the coach's job to make sure that if it's a special formation that you have not seen on special teams, and that you may think that they're running a trick play, and your defense is not prepared for it, it's the coach's job to call a timeout. I don't care if they're in the right position or not. Maybe we just need to go over that play call again. Maybe Derek Barnett doesn't understand this is the guy that you have to check and you have to stay with him the entire play. Maybe a timeout would be a great place at that, a great thing at that point. That's the coach's job. The coach's job is to make sure that the team has a sense of urgency every single game. Yeah, there may be some games where they're dead. Maybe there's some games where you don't walk out of the tunnel and you're just ready to play. It's the coach's job to make sure this team is prepared and ready and has the focus. It's the coach's job to understand that we have 5 games left. And if we win these next 5 games, we're going to go to the playoffs, which is helps us accomplish our goal, which was one of our goals, was to win our division. That's the coach's job. Now, how does it go from Doug Peterson down to the individual position coaches? It's their job to relay that message. How important it is that you detail your work. How important it is to you to get to 6 yards when you're supposed to get to 6 yards. How important it is to look the ball all the way in when you're catching the football. How important it is to make sure that when you're jumping, trying to defend the ball, just knock it away. Knock the receiver's hands down. That's the coach's job. And at this point, and we're talking about week 12, week 13, week for the 13. Coach to come here and say that we weren't prepared, we weren't focused, that's nonsense.
Well, let's see if this one makes you any more excited about the fact that he said they wanted the play more.
There were certain plays in that game where obviously they made the play we didn't. So in that case, yeah, they wanted that play a little bit more than we did. The effort, the energy level, all that was there. Playing tough, guys played hurt in the game and went back in the game. There were plays to be made in that game. We didn't make them. They wanted that aspect of the game just a touch more and ultimately came out on top.
Unacceptable.
Why?
What do you mean that they wanted it more? You know, it's going to be as simple as this. If you're going into battle with these guys and you tell me that the other team wants it more, then guess what they shouldn't be doing? They shouldn't be playing, period. And once you figure out that they don't want it as much as the other team, then get their butts out of there. Put Rasul Douglas in there. Put someone that's not going to jump off sides, someone that's not going to create penalties. That's your job, to make sure that the players that want it the most are in the doggone football game. That's your job. That's one thing that I can't – I've never been a fan of Doug in his press conferences, just full disclosure, because sometimes I think he just talks like me and you talking on the streets, and I think sometimes a head coach has to be the representative for the team, and the things that he has to say has to be straightforward, straight to the point, and I think sometimes Doug is just way too honest.
But sometimes he goes with the I have to do a better job and not answer the question.
I would rather have that than hear him say something like this. And if this is true, then that's terrible on his job. Once at some point when you say they want it more, then that person that doesn't want it enough, he got to come out because he ain't helping us win. Man, in fact, he's making us lose. That's unacceptable.
And the accountability thing that you talked about with the penalties, 10 penalties by the Philadelphia Eagles for 91 yards and some big ones. He spoke about that one as well.
It's unfortunate that they do happen. It came in bunches yesterday. I think 10 penalties there, four of which gave them first downs, you know, to stay on the field. We had some critical penalties on offense in critical moments. We had a holding call early in the game. We had a false start on a 4th-and-2 that we had to settle for a field goal. You know, my question is, you know, why?
Well, who are you asking that question to?
He's asking the media.
What are you doing in practice? Trey talks about it all the time.
You guys spoke about that.
We talked about that on the pregame show.
You did?
And so I'm going to plug our pregame show because this, all the things that we're talking about after the game are all the things we focused on in the pregame. Making sure that everything you do is moving towards you winning. 10 penalties? 4 penalties on the offense? You can't stay on the field. That means it's 3rd and long. And we lost the time of possession. 31-29.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good enough. And to hear Doug say that means he's not asking enough of his team. And or he's asking enough and his team isn't responding. Either way, it's his job to make sure that does not happen.
Yeah, and I already have the one highlighted where Jalen Mills, who was picked on a lot along with Ronald Darby when it came to Devontae Parker, a pass interference on 3rd down on Parker, where if they, of course, would have made the play,
it
would have been off the field.
That's right.
Yeah. And what happens next? They get a rushing touchdown, 2-point conversion, 34-28, Miami.
Anytime you can't get off the field, they usually, you know, the good teams make you pay for that. And I'm not sitting here telling you that Miami's a good team. We were just that bad yesterday. They made us pay for that, for a penalty. False start offense. Come on now. Watch the ball. It's a silent count. You ain't got to listen. Just wait till somebody else move. That's not the way that you play winning football. That's not Eagles football. That's just not how we can do things and win football games against a bad football team in the Miami Dolphins.
So bad that you're 4th-and-goal situation for the Miami Dolphins. They line up in a weird situation, a weird formation, as you talked about, where you have to call that timeout, where we haven't seen this.
Easily solved.
A punter to the kicker for a touchdown because your defensive end was not disciplined enough, Josh Sweat, and he stayed with the man, got... He bit on the punter trying to...
Yeah, three guys went after
the
run. Yeah, with the guy with the ball.
And he left the guy alone in the end zone. Well, listen, touchdown.
I obviously, Josh Sweat, he has to make that play. He has to stay with this guy. But there are just times as a special teams, and I think Dave Phipp is a very good special teams coach. He was with me in San Francisco, and I think he's done a very good job. But at that point, you can't prepare for every exotic formation that you're going to see. You just can't prepare for them all. It's not enough time in practice. However, what you can do is say, you know what? We haven't seen that before. Let me get y'all to the sideline so I can just draw up the possibility.
Timeout.
That's why you call it a timeout. Even if your guys are in the right place. Yeah, we can get the guys lined up. But if they don't know their responsibilities, you might as well not be lined up correctly. Call the timeout. What is that going to harm you? How is that going to harm you? It's by calling the dog on timeout. These are coaching miscues. Our margin for error is so small that we can't afford 10 penalties. We can't afford coaching miscues. We can't afford being outplayed. They wanted it more. We can't afford to do that. We don't have a talented enough roster to say, you know, we can overcome that. These are the conversations that Doug should be having with his team. there's a time for a player's coach, and then there's a time for a coach that's going to kick you in the butt and say, listen, this ain't good enough.
How do you explain when you look at the fact that the Eagles were scoring offensively, as we talked about, but the first jump ball from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Devontae Parker for the score was on 4th and 4, and then the penalty start again, Jason Peters' false start, field goal by Elliott makes it 13-7, and you talk about the penalties, I mean, not just the penalties, but the fact that they could not defend the way we thought. The adjustment, and we'll get to Pat and Brian and guys on the phone. Hang on, we'll get to you to give you your piece about all of these things. But once that happens and the scores start to really come into play for the Miami Dolphins, why not change things up? Why not send help to Darby or Mills or whoever? Because at that point, Gesicki hasn't really done much right. to hurt you. It right. was really Parker. And I can't remember who the other receiver was at that time who was you know, some of the first downs.
Wilson had a couple.
Yeah, Wilson did. So what was Jim Schwartz not doing? What should he have done to help out his corners?
Well, let's give it a little perspective. The Miami Dolphins, this 2-9 football team, when we went down there, they scored points on 6 consecutive possessions. What happened to our defense? What happened to those guys that slowed down Russell Wilson and Tom Brady? What happened to those guys that these guys can't get off the field? 5 touchdowns? Is that right?
5 touchdowns and 1 field goal.
How is that possible? And how is that possible that you don't come to the sideline and say, okay, this is what they're doing here, guys. If they're going to beat us with this Lard or whatever this running back name is, then that's who he's going to have to get the ball to. The one person that we have to stop, maybe we have to double team, is Devontae Parker, because we can't afford to let that one guy beat us. Gesicki, yeah, man, he could catch some passes here and there, but he ain't going to beat us the same way Parker did. We have to stop him. So, yeah, we got to double team him. Why wouldn't we? It just doesn't make any sense. And the thought process is, and I think their thought process is actually pretty simple. They're saying, yeah, well, we were there to be able to make the plays.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't make them. Well, because you didn't make them, that's why I'm sending a double team in that way.
Right.
That's why I'm sending a double team.
Right.
Because you didn't make the plays. You were there. You didn't make the plays. And guess what? The next time, you were there, and you still didn't make the plays.
Right, right.
So that's another issue. That's the thing for me. Listen, if they did it one time, okay, maybe that's just a fluke. They did it twice. If they did it 5-6 times in a row, then guess what? You should have been changed the defense. That's a coaching thing again. We keep talking about all these things. Now, listen, the players have some accountability as well, absolutely. But the coaches got to step up and do their job too. That's a big part of it. We talked about that in the pregame situation as well. I'm just disappointed in so much with this football team. I'm not saying that we have the most talent out there, but we can be disciplined with the penalties. We can go out there and play like we want to win with some of these competitions for these jump balls. We can do that. It doesn't take a bunch of talent, and the players that miss some of those opportunities, they have talent. They're good enough to do it. We just didn't execute on those plays.
No, they did not, and right now they are sitting at 5-7, while the Dallas Cowboys at 6-6. Philadelphia next matchup, certainly against the New York Giants on Monday night. And not, I'm sure, what the Monday night team was looking forward to when they put these two teams together. But that being said, we'll be together for the pregame show next Monday as we get ready for that game.
We got to get to our callers, too.
We'll get to the callers. Next. Pat and Brian and everyone else on the other side, we'll start with you. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook. I'm Devon Givens. We're live from P.J. Willihan's 1854 East Marlton Pike in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Final segment on the other side as we talk Eagles Dolphins right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, presented by 19 Crimes Wine and Rudder Roofing on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, 636 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Pro Show with Brian Westbrook, presented by 19 Crimes Wine and Rudder Roofing Windows. The Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived as well. Quality Fanatic in Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for browsing now, just in time for the holiday gift shopping season. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 975thefanatic.com. Brian Westbrook, Devon Givens, 1854 East Marlton Pike in Cherry Hills, where we are. We're here for our final segment before Sixers Jazz coming up at 7 right here on The Fanatic, live from the center. Brian Seltzer with the pregame coverage in just about 13 minutes from the center from South Philly. Before we get to the phones, guys, hang on 1 second. Carl here had a question to Brian about if you're sitting there looking at the, you know, if you're losing, if you're looking at it and saying, questioning the head coach, right? Are the players now possibly doing the same thing in the locker room?
Absolutely. Absolutely they are. And, you know, and so the question has to be asked, and I know Doug won the Super Bowl, and I respect Doug. The question has to be asked, can he turn this thing around? And every year you need a different, not a personality, a different aspect from your coach. Some years you need a coach that's going to kick you in the butt. Some years you need a coach that's going to put his arm around you. Sometimes you're going to need a coach that's going to say, listen, you do this again and you're going to be on the bench. And not just saying that's the coach that you need for the entire season. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need that same coach every other week or within the week. And we have to make sure that Doug can do that. And I know Doug can get it done. He has to change his personality just a little bit, though, because he has to get after these guys if you're telling me that they're not prepared, they're not focused. Zach Ertz. I love Zach Ertz. I think he's open almost all the doggone time.
Two drops.
Dropping the football. He's too good to be doing that. Pro Bowl player. One of the best tight ends in the NFL at this point, and certainly top three, dropping the football. Those are drive-extending plays. You can't do that. That's focus. Mm-hmm. That's the coach's job to make sure that the guys are focused. He has to do a better job with that.
You got it, man. So listen, we're going to take in some phone calls before we get out of here for Sixers basketball. We head to Bluebell with Pat as he starts things off on the phone with us on the Brian Westbrook Show right here on the Fanatic. Pat, how you doing?
Hey, good. A couple quick points because I know my time is limited. Obviously, no defensive adjustments, especially in the back set. Defensive back. It just was like the Vikings game. They let Diggs run all over the place, just like they let Parker. You have to do something. Bring the safety over. The safety's too slow. Double team. I think what you have here is a team that has lacking discipline, as evidenced by Jurgen. And then Peters offside twice. He could be called offside six times. I guess he got away with a lot of them. They're just simply not sharp on offense. And you know what? A couple things. Your tight end and Jeffries, when they get the ball and they receive it, they're getting crushed by the defensive backs of the other team because there's no threat. So you've got closer coverage. That it's a team sport. So these tight ends are getting hammered along with Jeffries when they catch the ball. Believe me, that takes a toll. And that's all because it's a team sport. Yeah. And one last thing. This team for being 5-7, I watched the game last week. We thought there were two different teams. The defense is out celebrating in the end zone and they're losing.
Yeah, man.
There's no discipline on this team, and that goes to coach. You got to get rid of it. You're going to have to make a change, or there's nothing. You got to make a change.
Pat, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, Pat. I don't think that we're ready and to the point where we're going to say Doug is gone, right?
No, I'm not there yet.
But we have heard the Chris Mortensen report.
Sure.
And he was like, if they don't make the playoffs or make a deeper run into the playoffs, there will be some major changes to this coaching staff. And to me, that sounds like offensive coordinator, maybe wide receiver coach. There's going to be some offensive changes here if we don't make the run that we're all hoping for to try to get into the playoffs. And I think that's certainly deserved because you got to get better play.
Sure.
You have to get better play out of your quarterback. You got to get better play out of your wide receivers. Certainly some of the D-backs. We have to get better play if we want to be one of these teams that we talked about in 2017 where this is our new norm. When we're talking about playoffs every year and not about are we going to make the playoffs, but are we going to get home field advantage? What's our seed going to be in the playoffs? Because I remember when I was playing, That was our conversation. It wasn't about can we make the playoffs. It was about what's going to be our seed. How are we going to get home field advantage?
Yeah.
This football team is, they're asking questions at 5-7. Are we even a playoff caliber football team? Those are bad questions to be asking a football team that you had high expectations of.
No question. Brian in Middletown next on the Brian Westbrook Show. What's going on, Brian?
Greetings, gentlemen. Excellent job as always.
Hey, thank you so much.
West, you know, the unique thing about your team, though, you had a big-time quarterback who could win playoff games. You also had an outstanding coaching staff. And that's why I want to get to Doug Peterson. When he was with Kansas City, he didn't call plays as the offensive coordinator. So he gets the head coaching job of the Eagles. Now he wants to call plays because he doesn't have the opportunity. But to be the head coach, there's so many responsibilities you need to sort of take care of. And so if you're focusing on calling plays, you better have position coaches who are experienced and who get the most out of this team. So what you just said is right in my wheelhouse. You know, I just think the quarterback's coach, the wide receivers coach, the offensive coordinator, they just can't handle this, what they're doing. So I want to see changes. And Corey Unlin, can we finally move on from him?
Because probably.
Technically speaking, every time I see these defensive backs, you never see them playing the ball in the air. They don't try to locate the ball. I mean, they're always flailing their arm. I mean, damn it, how many times do you have to keep seeing this? And I'll get this from Joe Joyner. He says, guys will do what they're taught to do. So the fact that we don't see wide receivers running good routes, we don't see DBs who can play the ball in the air, they're not taught to do it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Brian.
Absolutely. You know, I think you talk about being, and I think Seth brought up a good point, guys doing what they've been taught to do, guys doing what they've been allowed to do in practice. It goes back to the point that we talk with Trey about all the time. If this is what you're doing in practice, if you're going 6 yards on a 7-yard route, if you're going 5 yards on a 6-yard route, if you're not catching the ball consistently in practice, you have to believe that's exactly what's going to happen in the games. And that's Doug's job, to make sure that those guys are being held accountable in practice, in the meetings, as well as in the game. And that's been my whole point all doggone show. The coach has to do a better job of holding guys accountable.
Sure.
He has to do a better job of making sure that these guys are focused and ready for a football game. And if we're talking about making a playoff run, winning these next 4 games, he has to step up and do a better job, as well as the guys on this football team. Starts with Doug Peterson.
The Brian Westbrook Show has been presented by the 19 Crimes Wine. Join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 for the Brian Westbrook Show, live from P.J. Willihan's in Cherry Hill. Just grab a seat early and enjoy happy hour food specials from 3:30 to 6 to $2 sliders or the famous dollar fries. How about the $5 personal nachos? All day, every day, enjoy $7 19 Crimes featured wines by the glass, and also presented by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. B, you'll be back on with Mike Bisinelli on Friday at 4 o'clock for the 4 o'clock hour.
I'll be in a better mood on Friday. I'll be ready for a football game for Monday night football.
Yeah, and then you get the extra day, so
that's
it's
right.
All good. Yeah, Monday night against the New York Giants. So we'll have you guys all set for that live from Parks Casino on Monday night. Trey Thomas, Jason Devon, and myself. And here, we won't be here next week, correct?
No, we won't be here because we have a Monday night game.
So we get a little break here.
And 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to miss
this
place. This place, man.
My favorite place to eat on
absolutely.
Monday night.
Absolutely, no question about it. So coming up next, sorry we couldn't get to D-line them after the game. Sixers Jazz coming up. Brian Seltzer with the pregame coverage right here on the Fanatic. Josh, producing back at the station. Thanks so much. Mike Von Floto, Kevin, and James. Thank you guys, as always. And the great people here at PJ's, the great folks that come out to say hello. Bob Cooney and the lovely family, right?
That's right. I love
and
Bob,
Matilda always making sure we're good to go here at PJ's as well.
I'm going to have to come on the show with Bob because we don't see eye to eye about these Sixers. We don't see eye to eye.
We have plenty of time for that. And Pat, Carl, thanks so much. Coming up next, we have Sixers basketball. Brian Seltz with the pregame coverage right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.